is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and with me tonight, as always, my good friend and partner on this program, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Lord's Church here in Stephenville, the Hillcrest Church of Christ. Foy is usually with us, but he has gone away speaking at the Brown Trail School of Preaching today. But we're delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. We hope that the things that we say will encourage you, lift you up, and build you up in the most holy faith. We want you to remember that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're going to be talking about the way of Cain. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But before we get into the meat of our program, Frank, would you tell us from whence we're airing tonight?
Okay, thank you, Tom. We're broadcasting this evening from KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM, Hereford in the Canyon and Amarillo area. Also, we are broadcasting from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glenrose and KWBY 98.5 FM in Stephenville, and from KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview, Texas. Program is also being broadcast today on thegospelradionetwork.org. This program will be rebroadcast in the morning. It's Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. on thegospelradionetwork.org. Our motto for this program is, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. This is a live call-in program, as Tom mentioned a moment ago. We enjoy, appreciate, and encourage you to call in with a question or comment or perhaps a request for a subject to be considered. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also have a chat box on the website that we mentioned a moment ago, and if you would like to communicate with us on the chat box, we can see and hear and respond to your questions or comments if you share with us there on the chat box. You might also email questions to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We will be able to look at those questions after the program, and if you have a question or a comment, we will consider it at the next available opportunity. You can also sign up for a podcast for the program at harrisonmoore.org at the RSS feed at the bottom right-hand corner of the webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org. That'll let you know about our programs, and you can listen at them when you have the opportunity. So again, we certainly appreciate your being with us this evening. We do have a program that I think that you will appreciate, will be beneficial. We are going to talk about, as Tom mentioned, Cain, and we're going to be looking at Jude refers to it as being warned of them that have gone the way of Cain. And so what we're going to be considering is, what do we mean by the way of Cain? Tom, would you get us into the things that we're going to be discussing?
As Frank just mentioned in Jude verse 11, Jude writes, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." You know, it's important for us to realize that the word woe is a denunciation. And here Jude is condemning anyone who would follow in the way of Cain. You see, Cain had a heart problem, and he wanted to do things his own way without any or with little concern for what God wanted. You know, it's important for us to realize when we think about a heart problem that Solomon writes in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Isn't it true, Frank, that no man can ever really do any better than his heart is good?
You know, Jesus talks about this on several different occasions during his public ministry here in Matthew chapter 12. And moving down to about verses 34 and 35 of that chapter, Jesus began there as he spoke to the leaders of the Jews. He said, "Either make the tree good or the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruits corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruits. Ye offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things. The evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And so what Jesus is telling us there very simply is that the heart, the Bible heart, man's mind, that a man is what he thinks.
Exactly.
And that what he thinks is seen in the things that he says and thus the action that he takes.
Have you ever heard anybody say, "Oh, I just wasn't thinking when I said that"? Well, in reality, you cannot say what you do not think. And it's important for us to realize, as Jesus points out here, is that we are no better than our heart is. We go on there in the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, it says, "But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, railing. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man." What Jesus is telling his listeners is that what is on the inside is what is going to make us or break us. And if a mind has impure thoughts, impure minds, that is what defiles a man, because we are what we think. We are what we are on the inside.
But you know, and along with it, Jesus talks about the fact that some try to disguise, as it were, the things that are in the heart and say things in a hypocritical sort of way. Jesus addresses the Pharisees, and particularly the scribes. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and the platter, that the outside thereof may become clean also." Well, it doesn't take but just a moment to understand and to realize that Jesus is talking about the life of an individual, and he's simply saying that they, the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, were very concerned with the appearance that they made, the way that people saw them, and that they would be very careful to put forth an image that conveyed what they wanted people to think and what they wanted people to see. But he said it's just like washing, well, the outside of the cup or the platter. Another occasion, he refers to it as a sepulcher, a tomb.
Mm-hmm.
He said the outside of it, you beautify, you paint it, you do all of this. But inside it's full of dead men's bones.
Exactly. And you know, Frank, that's why we need to heed very seriously what Solomon states in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, where he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We need to give every effort possible to keep our hearts, to keep our minds pure, because our eternal destiny depends on it. Well, because of the importance of our heart condition, I want us tonight to consider the way of Cain and discover what his heart problem led to. And I think what we're going to find tonight is that many of the heart problems that Cain had are the same heart problems that are plaguing many people in our world. Begin with, Frank, what was one of the first heart problems that Cain had?
All right, I think that the very first thing, our introduction really to Cain pertains to worship.
Mm-hmm.
That expression that man has for God. And in Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, he said, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect." You know, the writer of the Hebrew letter introduces that chapter on faith, Hebrews chapter 11, by saying, "By faith Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice unto God." That in worshiping God, the difference between Cain and Abel, and the thing that we see here about Cain, his first heart problem was he wanted to worship God as it pleased him rather than as it pleased God.
Exactly. You know, there are a lot who falsely contend today that it doesn't really matter how we worship God as long as we do it some way, or as long as it comes from the heart, some will say. Many today, sadly, even in the Lord's church, are trying to change the pattern of worship in the New Testament. Many are trying to bring in the instrument, choirs, singing groups, hand clapping, and hand waving, etc. But worshiping God is not commendable unless it is done in a way that's pleasing in the sight of God. And we need to ask ourselves, when we're worshiping God, are we worshiping to please ourselves, or are we worshiping to please God?
You know, I think the most common response that we hear of people that have changed the way that they worship, added things, subtracted things, "Well, I like it," or "I think it sounds better."
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, insofar as worship and singing and instrumental music, you know, the argument would be, "Well, it's prettier, I like it, I think it sounds better." But you never hear anyone introduce something new or subtract something because "I don't think God likes it. This is what God said for us to do, but I don't know whether he really likes it or not, and mm-hmm. I think this sounds a whole lot better."
Yeah. You know, and after all, when we come to worship, our purpose for worship, is it not, Frank, is to bring glory to God and not please ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us that all worship is not pleasing in the sight of God. For example, you'll notice in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrine the precepts," or the commandments, "of men." So there is a worship that is vain, worthless, and then there is worship that is not. Okay. And when that person teaches things contrary to what God says, doing things their own way, then their worship becomes vain and it becomes worthless.
All right, and when you look at that word vain, it means it is without fruit, it's without satisfaction. It accomplishes nothing. And so in vain they worship. You know, it's interesting, as you pointed out a moment ago, Tom, he didn't say they don't worship me.
Mm-hmm.
He said they worship me, but in vain.
Yeah.
In other words, the idea that is there is they have an intent somewhere of worshiping God, they're just not doing it as God said for them to do.
Exactly.
And so that's the error. That's the problem.
And so we realize then that there is a worship that's pleasing to God, and there is also a worship that is not pleasing to God. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, here's a key word, must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, we need to worship God. It's a requirement that we worship God with the right attitude and also according to God's holy precepts.
You know, that passage that you quoted there, Tom, from John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. And in the conversation that he had, there are two things that are pointed out. They worshiped in this mountain. The mountain that was there in Samaria has a particular name. It was the mountain, they thought, where perhaps Noah's Ark had landed. And they had other things that they attributed to that mountain, but it was holy to them. And Jesus said, now this is where you think you ought to worship. And then he turned it around to the Jews, and he said, they do it in Jerusalem. But then he said, true worship is not a place. It's not according to what man thinks. It doesn't matter that you think the ark landed on this mountain or the other thing that they thought, it was from that particular mountain that God took the dust that he used to create Adam. But what Jesus wanted them to see, it's not what you think. It's not where you think. But he that worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Exactly right. And so God had no respect nor approval of Cain's worship. It was neither in spirit nor was it in truth. You know, God is more concerned in having us than having what we bring. You know, we have a good example of that in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. Remember the situation there where Saul was told to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything, but he did not. He spared Agag the king and brought back the best of the flock. And one of his excuses for disobeying God was, well, we're going to use these great, the best of the flock to make sacrifice for you, Lord. Well,
that's right.
You know, in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, Samuel says, hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And so people sometimes just thinking that just going through the motions and doing it is enough. But the Bible says, God says, I want it done how I want it done. And so Cain's attitude was, please me first and please God second. Well, it's interesting that Cain's heart trouble also led to anger. You know, isn't it interesting, Frank, that sometimes when people are exposed for their wrongdoing, instead of repenting and wanting to change, they just get angry.
Right, when they don't get their way.
Uh-huh.
And this is what happened to Cain. You know, we could go back, and it's not a part of this lesson as to why Cain offered what he offered and why Abel offered what he offered. But Cain had convinced himself that my act of worship is just as good as your act of worship because I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became angry because his wisdom, you know, his decision, his thinking was not accepted.
Exactly.
And instead of him responding and saying, well, I was wrong, just made him angry. Mm-hmm. My way is just as good as yours.
And that's why it says there in Genesis chapter 4, the last part of verse 5, it says, and Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. You see, when Cain realized that his worship was not pleasing in the sight of God, he didn't change. He just got mad. He had no sorrow for sin. Cain was resentful and pouted instead of being penitent. You know what's sad, Frank, is that too many are like this in the religious world today. Instead of owning up to their being wrong, realizing that they're doing it their way instead of God's way, and repenting and changing, they just get angry. How many times have we talked with people about the Scripture, debated with them about what is right and wrong, and instead of changing, they just get mad?
Get angry. You know, and he shifted his anger to his brother. You know, that instead of him being angry just as he started out, just angry, because this was not acceptable, this is not the way he wanted, then that anger had to focus somewhere.
Exactly.
And he focused his anger upon his brother.
You know, and isn't that the way people usually act? When they do wrong, they get mad. They get mad at somebody else. Anger and ill will are like a swarm of killer bees. They attack the victim with no mercy. And we might ask ourselves, who does anger honor? Does it honor the Prince of Peace or the Prince of this world? And we realize that it honors the Prince of this world and not God. Instead of Cain changing when he was told he was wrong, he simply got mad.
You know, the wise man in Ecclesiastes says anger rests in the bosom of the fool. Solomon is very pointed in the language that he uses there, both Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs. But when an individual is filled with anger, as Solomon said, it rests in his bosom. It comes from, as we looked a little bit earlier, the passage where Jesus talks about that it comes from the heart. That's where the anger comes from.
Exactly right. In the book of Job, of course, Job was talking here and answering some of the false accusations against him. He said there in Job 19, verse 29, "Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth punishment of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." You know, there's not really any good thing that comes from anger. Now, the Bible does say in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, "Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." But here we have a situation where a man by the name of Cain, instead of changing the error of his way, he simply got mad. Uncontrolled anger leads to even more sin. And we're going to notice that in the case of Cain, in just a few moments, it led to the murder of his brother. We want to remind you tonight that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Well, Frank, what else did Cain's heart trouble lead to?
The next thing that we see, insofar as Cain is concerned, his sacrifice that he offered was according to his own will, not the will of God. He was angry as a result of it. And then because of the heart trouble that Cain had, it led to a refusal to listen to God. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, "If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin crouches at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire, but do thou rule over it." And the other translation of that might read a little easier. "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, then sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." And so in this we see that his trouble with his heart, as these things began to unfold, the next thing was he just quit listening to God. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to. And Tom, you have had the same experience that I've had over the years when you'd be talking to someone concerning what God has said, and you turn to the Scripture and they just kind of throw up their hands. "I don't want to hear that."
Yeah.
You know, they quit listening to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of like saying, "Well, don't bother me with the facts. My mind is already made up." Going in one ear and out the other. Well, the Lord warned Cain, but he refused to listen. Many today are refusing to heed the warning of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them." You know, Frank, there is a difference between hearing a sound and really accepting what is heard.
You know, this is something that I remember a long time ago when I first began to read the Bible and study it. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the first time that I read that, I can remember looking back and thinking, well, yeah, that's what an ear is for. Mm-hmm. But Jesus uses the two terms there. He has an ear to hear, let him hear. And the second hearing means to understand or pay attention. You know, sometimes people hear what's being said, but they don't listen. They don't pay attention. They don't give heed to what's being said. There's another word that's used and translated hearken, which doesn't just mean to hear. It means to pay attention.
Exactly.
To what's being said.
And we live in a world, and Cain fell in this category, that just simply refused to listen to God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, and verse 21, it says, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, that have ears, that have eyes to see, and have ears, and hear not." Again, that is one of the biggest problems in our world today, not willing to listen. And, you know, in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it says, "O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Is that not exactly what Cain was wanting to do was doing?
That's exactly what Cain was doing. And, you know, as you think concerning the circumstances in which Jeremiah was writing, you see it even more plain as to the sin of Cain and the thing that he was doing. Jeremiah was talking to the people concerning worshiping and serving God, and he was outlining to them, reminding them, here's what God has said. And they wouldn't see what he was saying. They wouldn't listen to what he was saying. That they were like Cain. They had heart trouble. They'd already made up their mind what they wanted to do and how they wanted to worship. And so when Jeremiah lays it out, they can't see it. They can't hear it.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of that today when, for example, you or I get in the pulpit on Sunday and we preach, for example, maybe our lesson is on the importance of faithful attendance, and we have a lot in the audience there who only come on Sunday morning, and we preach about the importance of being there Sunday night and Wednesday Bible class, being a good example, encouraging one another, and you preach these things, you give them biblical evidence for it, they're hearing it, you know, but they aren't listening, and they don't show up. You know, that's no different than what Cain's doing.
Yeah. You know, Tom, that reminds me of there was an occasion years and years ago when I would get through with a sermon on a number of occasions when I'd start out of the building. There was one particular individual that repeatedly told me, "You stepped on my toes."
Mm-hmm.
Until finally I had to say, if I continually step on your toes, you need to move your foot.
Yeah.
Well, they were hearing, but they weren't hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
They knew what I said, but the message wasn't quite getting across.
Yeah. And I guess the hearing, you know, you can know what they're saying, you understand what they're saying, but unless you're willing to do what the Bible says, you're not really hearing the message, are you?
Not getting the message.
Well, remember that this is a live call-in program. Well, the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QAB. Bible. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the way of Cain. And Cain had a heart problem. And we talked about early in the program the importance of a good heart, and that we can do no better than our biblical heart, our mind, our thinking is. We noted that Cain's heart problem led to vain worship. We also discussed how that Cain's heart problem led to anger. He was angry when he was told that he was doing wrong. And Cain's heart problem led to his refusal to listen to God. Whenever we refuse to listen to God, whenever we refuse to do things God's way and do things our own way, things just get worse, don't they?
You know, as you enumerated the different things of his heart, you notice a progression.
Yeah.
You know, one step led to the next mm-hmm. step until we finally come down, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, and Cain told Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
Mm-hmm.
And so how far this heart problem led Cain from God.
Exactly. You know, so Cain's heart problem grew worse and worse. It began with vain worship. It moved to anger. His heart was ever hardening, and now it came to the point of murder. You know, you look at people's lives, and maybe some in our audience are thinking about their lives, and you say, I never thought it would come to this. I never thought they'd go so far, and yet that's what sin does that is unchecked. That's what happens when you have a heart full of deceit, a heart that's not willing to listen to God, and you know, if a heart that's not willing to do what God says.
You know, the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, said, and gave the progression of sin. He said, you hear it is conceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the actual, as we would use it in a physical sense, that's the point of beginning. And then he said, after it's conceived, then ultimately it gives birth. And when it's full grown, it brings forth death.
Exactly. You know, I'm thinking about on Sunday nights, we've been looking at the life of David. And we're about on our 24th lesson on the life of David. And we've been spending the last several weeks talking about the sin of David and Bathsheba, and then about the consequences. You know, I just wonder, David standing there on his rooftop looking out, would he have ever thought that that moment would progress to the point to where he was killing a man, seeing him be put to death? You see, whenever we get involved in sin and we don't stay away from it, things are just steadily going to get worse. Here Cain eventually slew his brother because of his anger. And we might be appalled at action. Murder? Can you imagine murdering somebody? I just cannot believe somebody would do something like that. But in 1 John in chapter 3, in verse 15, this is 1 John 3, verse 15. Hereby we love because we let on his life for us. That's not the one I want, is it?
Okay. The one you want is you hate your brother.
Yeah.
Is a murderer.
Yeah. We got the wrong verse down there anyway, but that's the verse we want. If you hate your brother, then you are a murderer. Well, are we murderers? You know, we think about here, Cain was so distraught because God was pleasing to Abel was pleasing to God, but Cain was not. But instead of changing, he got mad, and that anger was so strong that it finally led to the murder of his brother.
Okay, and the scripture you was mentioning there a moment ago, 1 John 3 and verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer.
And oh, yeah, I was reading verse 16. No wonder
no murderer hath eternal life.
Exactly right. So we've got to realize that hate and murder, the Bible says, are connected. And, you know, and this all started because of a heart problem. Cain's heart problem also led to deceit and honesty. You know, there's no end to the progression of sin, is there?
No end whatsoever. It This is the old illustration that people give. When somebody tells a lie, then it ultimately will have to lead to another to cover that one up. And there's no end to it. It's a progressive thing. And so Cain's trouble, it led to deceit and dishonesty. And the other thing about that, he had to deceive himself and be dishonest with himself as well as with others.
Exactly right. So there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "And Jehovah said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Did Cain know where his brother was? Yes, he did, because he just killed him. He knew exactly where he was. Evil hearts cause sin to multiply. And it's just like you say, you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie to cover it up, and it just multiplies dramatically.
You know, that probably also illustrates another thought in regards to this deceit. I don't know of any passage in the Old Testament that people can relate to and relate to you more readily than the one we just read. You constantly hear people say, well, am I my brother's keeper? Mm-hmm. They apply it in a lot of different ways. And so many times they're actually deceiving themselves because we look at it and we know, Tom, we've got a phone call if you'd like to pick that up, please.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name, please, and your question or comment.
This is Bill. I just was listening to some of the comments about, Cain and Abel. Thinking about brother's keeper and everything is things in the church nowadays. You know, you can start a heart condition by just a little gossip, a little, I don't like the way he does this, or I don't like the way he does that among themselves. That can start a heart condition within the congregation.
Yeah.
Which can cause a problem.
Most definitely. Not only can you develop that heart problem, but you can also develop hard hearts in other people, right?
Well, that's correct. And then that's the reason people leave here. I don't like the preacher. I don't like what he said. He stepped on my toes too many times, just like you mentioned a while ago.
Yeah.
And they shuffle their feet right out of the congregation and go somewhere else and start causing problems.
Yeah. And then there are some people who, not even talking really about Bible, but they're just talking bad about somebody else, hurting feelings unnecessarily. And that can also cause a difficulty, a heart problem that leads people away from the church. And sometimes, just maybe not away from the church, but they're not living in and working in the church like they once did.
Well, what I've found out lots of times, the people that have the most complaints are the ones that are not willing to do anything.
You're exactly right.
They're not willing to get in there and work. They're not willing to discuss their ideas or what it is with the eldership or the deacons or anybody. They just want to gripe and complain.
I guess it'd be kind of like not willing to listen like Cain, huh?
Right. That's what I was getting to there. They hear, but they don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed lots of times you'd have the preacher up there preaching and everything, and their sermon going, and you look at people over there that have got their, I would hope that they had their Bible out in their little cell phones and things like that, but most of the time they're not. Or they're reading the bulletin during the sermon, or, various things like that. They're sitting in the pew, they're there, but they're not hearing the word that's said.
And then I've noticed a few, Bill, that are just flat out sleeping. so they're not listening, right?
Right, right. But anyway, just a comment. That was all. I'm enjoying your discussion here.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you calling in, Bill.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right.
So Bill makes a lot of good points. Our refusal to listen can sometimes affect other people in the congregation, and also our heart problem can cause a heart problem in other people.
But the bottom line on this, again, is something that God told the children of Israel through Moses, as they were getting ready to go into the land that God had prepared for them, he tells them what they need to do, how they, the actions they need to take, and if they don't, then in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, he said, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Jehovah, and be sure your sin will find you out."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Cain thought that he might have had the body of Abel, but he didn't hide it from God.
You know, it's interesting to me, Frank, that when one lies about an action, he knows it's wrong, or he wouldn't lie about it.
Yep.
And so in John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so those who are involved in deceit and dishonesty, Jesus says, "You are the child of the devil."
And, you know, that's harsh language.
It is.
And probably it's as far as the way people would like to think today. We ought not to talk that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ought not to tell people that, hey, you're sinning, and if you continue in sin, you're going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus wanted them to understand, because if they didn't understand, they wasn't going to change.
Exactly right. Well, we also realize that Cain's heart problem led to punishment. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And now cursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth." You know, one of the things that Cain failed to do, that a lot of people are failing to do today, is that of counting the cost of his action. You know, God's immutable law states that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what people tend to forget.
So many times they fail to consider the consequence of their action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can, as we talked about that a little bit a while ago, but there's probably no way that Cain could have imagined, when he put together the sacrifice that he was putting together, he knew he wasn't doing what God told him to, but no way he could think, as a result of this, I'm going to kill my brother, I'm going to be a castaway. You know, all of the consequences for the thing mm-hmm. that he did.
Exactly. You know, there are a lot of people who are forgetting what Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. That which we receive as a result of sin is death. And we might also consider, while we're thinking about this, in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, "For they that sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." Paul says it in a similar way, doesn't he, in the book of Galatians?
He tells us that, you know, as we read, as you mentioned a moment ago, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know, that passage there in Hosea that mm-hmm. you read, "For they that sow to the wind shall reap the whirlwind." I had read that a number of times, and as I'm sure that you have, but it wasn't until somebody changed the word on that to me that really made me think about what he was saying. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap a tornado.
Yeah.
You're going to reap a storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what Hosea is expressing, and what God will say. You know, if we sow to the wind, okay, we get out here and throw something up, there's a breeze blowing, scatters it a little bit. Not much. But when we realize that what we will reap out of that's going to be a storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be a tornado.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hurricane. And that's
I think that's probably what David realized too, at the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba and all of these things that occurred in his life. that made things so horrible for him. You know, punishment awaits, we are told, all the disobedient. You know, in Romans at chapter 2 and verse 8 it says, "But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation." There is punishment awaiting those who disobey the word of God. But that didn't stop there, does it?
No, it continues on. And you know, the next thing that we see in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13, "And Cain said unto Jehovah, My punishment is greater than I can bear." You know, the idea, Cain's heart problem brought a heavy burden.
It did, exactly.
And, you know, all we have to do is look around at the things that happen in the world today and the sin that exists in the world today. Look at the consequences. Look at how much sorrow, look how much danger, how much damage, and how much sorrow there is in the world today because of sin.
And I guess there's probably a lot of people who are in that sorrow who wished they had never done that.
Yeah. They just don't realize that this is going to be the result of the action that they have taken. You know, unforgiven sin is a load too heavy for any man to bear. That brings a thought to me that I had, again, an occasion that it was brought to me, and it made a point to me. You keep hearing people every once in a while bring up and ask you, "Tom, would you explain to us what the unpardonable sin is?" And you get into there, and someone pointed out we need to be a whole lot more concerned about the unpardoned sin than the unpardonable sin.
Exactly right.
You know, when you really stop it and think, you know, it's the sin that for which we have not obtained forgiveness. That we've not repented, we've not changed. That's one we need to be concerned about.
And that's what John says in the book of 1 John. There is a sin which is unto death, and a sin which is not unto death. A sin which is unto death is one that is not repented of. A sin that is not unto death is one that is repented of. And so here we have a situation where Cain sins. He does not listen to God. He involves in murdering. He wants to do things his own way. And now, as a result of all of the consequences, he has a burden that's too heavy for him to bear. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of people in our world that are burdened down with the consequences of sin.
You know, they forget what Jesus said. You know, in the middle, so to speak, of his public ministry, Jesus would say to all, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You know, what makes them labor and are heavy laden? What is the weight that's bearing them down?
It's the weight of sin, isn't it?
It's the weight of sin.
The consequences of sin, but even more important, Frank, than the physical consequences that you perhaps are now encountering, it's the eternal consequences that is the real burden behind sin.
All right, and he tells us that the wages of sin, the result, is death.
So Cain lived in the bitterness of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, instead of living in the blessings. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ." That's where our burdens are taken away. You know, we have a song, "The Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." And you just read the passage that in Matthew chapter 11, that we don't have to be burdened down because Christ has lifted up that burden for us. So we've got to realize that we ought not to try to bear the load ourselves. It's because it's more than we can bear.
Okay, it is a burden that we cannot bear by ourselves.
And so finally, as we're drawing to a conclusion tonight, Cain's heart problem led to separation from God.
You know, the statement there is, and Cain went forth from the presence of Jehovah and dwelt in the land of Nod. First of all, I think that it is a shame that too many people say, well, where was Nod? Instead of seeing that it was a separate from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the place that he went.
Exactly right. It was a sorrowful day for Cain when he left the presence of the Lord. And this is where heart problems ultimately lead. They lead away from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." We think about physical death, Frank. Physical death is a separation of body from the spirit, right?
Right, and spiritual death is a separation of the soul from God. This is the idea that is behind it. You know, you mentioned there the passage in Isaiah chapter 59. A little bit later in that same chapter, he tells us, "Justice is turned backwards, righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street."
Mm-hmm.
You know, when their attitude toward truth, when truth became something that was of no value, they just threw it in the street. It became something trodden underfoot. And that's what separated them from God.
So tonight we have noted, well, we might remember also, in Jude verse 24 it says, "Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy." You know, that's a very beautiful passage about being in the presence of God. And in doing so, we're without blemish. We have exceeding joy. But Frank, anyone who is following the way of Cain, who has a heart problem like Cain, is never going to enjoy blessings, the joy that comes from having a heart right with God.
Absolutely. To have that peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that relationship with God.
You know, tonight we've talked about the way of Cain, taken from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And we began our program tonight by noticing passages like in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, that was the problem with Cain. He had a heart problem. And we looked at several passages to begin our program tonight that talked about the importance of a biblical heart. And we concluded that section by noting Proverbs 4, verse 23, where it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Frank, tell us a little bit about, in review, what about Cain's heart problem?
All right, as we looked at the heart problem of Cain, we see the progression not only of his heart problem, but it's the progression of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did something that was not in harmony with God's instruction.
Yeah.
Abel, by faith, offered a more acceptable sacrifice. He did, faith comes by hearing of the word of God. He did what God told him. Cain's first thing was not listening to God. Then this caused his anger, because I did what I did and I thought that it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then his anger ultimately finds its release when he slew his own brother.
Yeah.
It goes to the point of death. It led to anger, murder, and ultimately to his being separated from God.
Exactly. Well, before we draw to a conclusion now with a couple of closing comments, I'd like to remind our listening audience of our sponsors. We're being sponsored by the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas. And also we have individuals who give to us monthly, maybe a year contribution at a time, from time to time. And we want to remind our audience that all of these monies that come in for the programming go directly to the programming of this radio station. And all of the congregations that we mentioned are faithful and true to the Word of God. We encourage you to attend them if you're in the area. And we also want to thank all of the individuals who make this program possible. Frank, do you have a comment or two for us before we conclude here?
I would like to just take the thought again of the progression that we saw insofar as the life of Cain was concerned, that it led to his first action of disobedience unto God, led to vain worship, led to anger. It was a progression that finally and ultimately led to being separated from God. And I'd like for us to turn that around just for a minute for a closing thought as to the fact that there is a progression that we can make that goes the other direction. When one hears the Word of God and listens to it, and as Jesus said, that we must believe that He is. When we believe, when we hear that Word and then believe, it causes a change in our life, and it's a change of heart. We call it repentance. Repentance is a change of attitude. Our heart has changed. Our attitude has changed, and this leads us to obedience, that we are obedient under the instruction that God gives. We're buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism, that we might be raised to walk in the newness of life. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Mm-hmm. He's a new creature. We have gone from death to life, just as Cain went from life to death.
Exactly right. And it all boils around to being willing to listen and hear what God says. You know, that reminds me of a passage in Mark chapter 4 in verse 23 where it says, "Take heed what ye hear." Other passages talk about take heed how ye hear. And so it's important for us to listen to what God has to say. Cain would not, and therefore he suffered the consequences. We want to thank you for being with us tonight on this program. We hope that the things that we've discussed have encouraged you, has helped you to realize the importance of having a heart that's pleasing and right in the sight of God. And maybe we should just conclude by saying what was said in Luke chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 11. "Woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain." It is our prayer that you will not go the way of Cain. Thank you for listening tonight. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.